Toward the end of the war, the Germans captured Volpi and injected him with powerful chemicals to try to make him talk, but succeeded only in destroying his health. He died in Rome in 1947 at the age of 70, leaving the 9-year-old Giovanni a vast estate that included the 75-room Palazzo Volpi on the Grand Canal, a 300-room palace in Rome, a 4,000-acre ranch in Libya, and other properties and holdings sufficient to keep Giovanni living in style in the well-appointed, fully-staffed villa on the Giudecca. He had a flotilla of 3 motorboats, including the oldest one in Venice, his father's 1928 handcrafted Celli, which turned heads everywhere he went in it. Giovanni Volpi never moved into his palace on the Grand Canal, and in fact, after the death of his mother, no one lived there. Nevertheless, he kept it furnished and spotlessly maintained. "Ah, Giovanni," said a Venetian woman who knew him well, "he can be so witty and full of fun, but most of the time he's deeply discontented. He has an almost princely status in Venice, but he rejects it. If you invite him to a party, he won't say yes, he won't say no, and he won't show up. He hates Venetians." For some reason, however, Volpi got on well with Americans. When I heard this, I decided to give him a call, thinking it might be worthwhile to hear a contrarian's view of Venice. "No problem," he said as soon as I asked. "Come on over." Volpi's house on the Giudecca, the Villa Caleone, lay behind a high brick wall that ran along a quiet canal directly across from the mysterious Garden of Eden, which hid behind its own brick wall. A housekeeper answered the door and led me through an allée of fragrant gardenias into the living room. French doors looked out on a broad view of the lagoon, southward, in other words, away from Venice. The decor of the room was not especially identifiable as Venetian, which may have been its point. I could hear Volpi in the next room winding up a telephone conversation in French. He joined me as soon as he was through and, after offering me a drink, sat down opposite me. He was wearing a dark wool shirt, corduroy slacks, and heavy all-weather shoes. He had a brooding expression, which broke into a brief, fleeting grin. "Okay, go ahead," he said. "What would you like to know?" "Forgive me for being blunt," I said, "but what's the problem between you and Venice?" He laughed, but as soon as he started talking, I could tell it was no joking matter. He spoke fluent English in an earnest, low-pitched voice. "I'm the son of a self-made man who single-handedly propelled Venice into the 20th century and maintained it in perfect working order until the war. He died in 1947, and ever since then, it's been downhill."
"In what way?"
"It's hard to know where to begin. Well, okay, the industrial port of Marghera. That's the big polluter, the destroyer of the ecology in the lagoon, right? And my father is supposedly a villain for building it. When my father designed Marghera in 1917, Venetians were starving. They were wearing rags, living 5 in a room. 10,000 jobs were needed. So he built the port, filled in some marshes, developed the site for the government, and sold parcels of land to various industries, shipyards, and manufacturing. It was only after the war, after he was dead, that the people in charge, the idiots, filled in 2 more big sections of the lagoon. He never intended to do that, and now, of course, everyone knows it was an ecological mistake. But worst of all, also after he was dead, they built oil refineries in Marghera and brought big tankers into the lagoon. Oil tankers draw more water than any other ship in the world, so an extremely deep channel had to be dug for them. The average depth of the lagoon is 4 or 5 feet, but the tanker channel is 50 feet deep. Water used to flow gently into and out of the lagoon with the tides. Now it whooshes in and out, and the bottom gets all stirred up. That's what's really destroying the ecology. My father would never have allowed that to happen, and yet he's blamed for it. If you watch the tankers cruising through the lagoon, they don't seem to be making waves, but they're displacing 80,000 tons of water as they move, and the water has to rush in behind them to fill the vacuum. Today, the tankers give Venice a wide berth, but in the first few years, they came so close they sucked water out of the little side canals as they went by. I used to see it happen outside my door all the time. The water level would suddenly drop, whoosh, and then come rushing back up again. That kind of turbulence destabilizes the foundations.